Christmas Eve has a lot of emotions around it, and it's a chance to stop and say, well, we worship you, Lord Jesus, and thank you for coming to be our Savior, saving us from our sins, but also being a strength and source of peace, wonderful counselor, mighty God for any soul that would look to him. I want to ask you a simple question tonight, and thinking past Christmas Eve, sometimes when I get my blood pressure taken occasionally to make sure it's not too high. And one of the things that I actually think about that brings it down is Christmas Eve services, believe it or not. I just think of singing certain songs to God, hearing about Jesus coming, seeing people that you know and love. So it's a blessing in all ways. But I'd like you to think about a simple question. What's the best Christmas gift you ever received? Might think back in childhood or in your youth days, as an adult, maybe even recently. It might be something like a bicycle. Might be something more recent, a smartphone, you know, from Apple or something like that. Someone said, you know, was it the designer shoes you always wanted and now they have holes in them? Was it the vehicle you're driving now that has rust on it? Maybe that would be a big gift. Or how about a ring? Or how about the gift of a person? Now that would be really, really, now you're talking invaluable. You know, and when you think of it, those are good gifts, all from God, but they show us the need for something more permanent because they're great. And yet sometimes we can't keep them in our hands, in our grasps. But compare the best gift you ever received to the gift of the Son of God, Jesus. And heaven, and eternal life, and forgiveness of sins, and the strength of God in your life. You know, and then a place that you know where you're going, and you have a purpose in life, all that. In the person of who Jesus is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Compare that really good gift that you really appreciated to the gift of Him, and there's no comparison. You know, He just outshines everything. And in fact, you and I could take all the gifts we could ever think of and compare them, those gifts, to Christ Himself. We would have to say, well, Christ still shines. He's the light. He's the life. And so we would turn to Him. And we don't want to gain the whole world sometimes in the gifts God gives and yet lose our soul and pass up who Jesus is by putting our trust in Him. Now, not only is Jesus' goodness bigger than all the goodness of all the gifts we could ever think of, but His goodness is stronger than the badness that is in the world or in our soul. Jesus' goodness is stronger than all the badness in the world or in our soul. The badness of loss and disease and violence and sin and death and hell. For many of you and for myself in particular, last month been real difficult. Son in the hospital and spinal cord injury, which is very scary. And he's recovering from physical problems, other problems. So a lot of heartache and trouble. But I tell you a truth that many of you have discovered in the midst of that. God is very, very merciful. And God is very, very loving. And people are very, very loving. And the goodness of Jesus really does carry you through the badness that is definitely in the world. And so Jesus will be faithful to you. As the shepherds found out, you know, their life was changed. They went and told others. The wise men, they were willing to say, we'll stop everything. We're going to follow that star till the day we die, if necessary. But they found Jesus a couple years later. But Jesus will be faithful to you when the storms hit your life. And you need that gift of God's Son. And here's some Bible truths that show the goodness of Jesus' gifts. You heard them a little bit already. Jesus shines in the darkness. The darkness has not overcome Him. count on that as fact, both in the past and the future. Darkness will never overcome the Lord. God's promise is the same to us today. He will save His people from their sins. If we have a problem in our soul that seems to block us from God, God says, I can save you from that, the penalty of it and the power of it. And the good news of great joy that's for all the people. Savior born to you who is Christ the Lord. Just news that God like avalanches upon us in the Gospels. And so, and when Jesus was born, you know, there was only two responses by the people. One response that wasn't there was kind of ho-hum, like, oh yeah, we heard about this guy, so what? But it was like, uh-oh, I have to find out the truth about who he is. And the many people back then, as today, didn't feel like they needed a Savior, they didn't need the Lord, and they certainly didn't want Jesus to be in charge of their life. More, I think, wiser to be in charge of your own, which is not true. But that response was a response of not admitting a need, of feeling overly focused on self. And religious leaders were in on that bunch, sadly. Other people of power, Caesar Augustus, Pilate, King Herod. And those folks thought they were really good without Jesus. How sad is that? You know, missing the best gift. And they had no time for him. So we don't want to be in that first group. But the second response to Jesus was this. And normally it was from people who were very desperate in their soul. They knew they were really bad. And unless God would come into their heart, they were going to be just going nowhere. They were the immoral. They were the lepers. They were the crippled. They were the outcast. They were the folks who were desperate. They were the shepherds who didn't have a future in terms of, you know, economic advancement. They were wise men who were strange and wandered. But they took everything they had, any good they thought they had, and all their reputation, and they said, we'll put this aside for the wonderful goodness of who Christ is. And would you do that tonight? Would you be in that second group? By the grace of God, you're in the second group, in need of a Savior, hour by hour. And one of the important questions Christmas asked is, why in the world would Jesus come to a lost world and give himself in such humble circumstances? The Bible gives a reason. For God so loved the world. That's Christmas. That he gave his Son from the cradle to all his teaching and miracles to the cross to the resurrection. He gave his one and only Son. You put your name in that verse, please. For God so loved you. St. Augustine said, God loves you as if you were the only person in the world. And he happens to love everybody else the same, with the same intensity. And so be like the people who know the need of the soul, who said, I not only have time for Jesus, he's my life and light of my world. And, you know, God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world or to condemn you, but to save you. What a great message, man, that the Lord would send himself, his Son, to do this. And one author described God's love in this way. God's love will never let you go. God's love never quits. Who Jesus is, he'll never quit on your behalf. God's love is there even when you don't love him back. That's a big one, which, you know, we could relate to every day. God's love is so good, he wants you to be with him forever. That the Lord himself. And one closing story, that this can be your story a bit, at least in its conclusions. A story from C.S. Lewis, who held, he was a brilliant guy, held academic positions for 40 years in Oxford and Cambridge universities. This is what he wrote about his relationship with Christ. And he didn't believe in Jesus really till he was an adult, you know, up there in years. But he said this. He says, I looked at my character with serious intent, and what I found there shocked me. He found himself in that second group. I was a zoo of selfishness, a herd of ambition, a host of hatred and fears. I became aware, however, of the steady, unstoppable approach of God, who I so strongly desired not to meet. That could be part of our story, you know. I didn't want to be a Christian. But Christ was so great, I said, He's the one, He's the Savior. What love is this, he said, that opens wide the gates of heaven to a kicking convert whose darting eyes in every direction was looking for a chance to escape. That's how all of us feel in church on an occasional basis. You know, darting for a chance to escape from some worship time with the Lord. But he said, nobody would pursue me like this except God. I knelt in my room and knew God as God and knew Christ as Savior. I was the most reluctant convert in England, but I surrendered to the righteous King and ruler of my soul. And that could be you, you know, surrender your life to the righteous King and ruler of your soul. You do need Christ more than anything else, and the help of who he is. He's faithful. He's true. And you put your trust in him. And if you are open to him, he's been tracking you down. And he wants to be have you with him forever. So be like those shepherds. Be like the ones who said, yes, I need this good news of great joy for me. And rejoice in this Christmas celebration. Would you pray with me as we close, please? Lord, thank you for each person here and their worship of you, the beauty of their lives. Your fingerprint is on their life. They're made in your image. And Jesus, you love them with the greatest intensity that they can imagine. And so, Father, for each one of us, if we haven't received the Lord or put our trust in him, we could be like, well, shepherd for the first time, wise men for the first time. Change lives, Lord, and might they pray something like this from their soul. The words aren't important, but it's the heart. Lord, thank you for your birth. Thank you for your life, perfect life, your death in my place. Thank you for rising from the dead. And dear Lord, I receive you. I, with your help, turn from sin. And I want to trust and follow you. Help me to follow you, Lord, in the fellowship of other Christians, just like these shepherds did, these wise men, and the 12, and more. 2,000 years later, you're still winning people to yourself. It's amazing grace that we could be among them. To hear our silent prayers, Lord, as we begin to close with the candlelight service.